Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary Show. Inspiring stories that change lives. Where ordinary heroes tell their extraordinary stories of how they have triumphed over unexpected challenges. This is where we say what can't be said and use the AAA formula for freedom. Awareness, acceptance, and action. Now, here's your host, Hillary Burns.
Well, hello, this is Hillary Burns, and this is another episode of the Getting Real with Hillary Show. And today I have two very special people on with me, and they're going to talk about, you know, they're going to tell their inspiring story and how maybe they can help you as well, because when you hear the business that they've launched, it's pretty exciting. So let's see. I knew Lavelle. So Lavelle and Jennifer Somerville are married. I knew Lavelle's mom. We worked together, and she is an awesome person. One day we were at the office and she said, "Oh, why don't you come upstairs? Let's go meet my son." And Lavelle and Jennifer's business was right upstairs in our right above our corporate office. So I met Jennifer and Lavelle, and I was so impressed with them that I said, you know, would you be on my show? So we're going to let them tell you a little bit about their business that they're starting. It's called the Quick Draw Phlebotomy School in Shelton, Connecticut. They have been married for 11 years and have four beautiful and talented children. So welcome, Lavelle and Jennifer.
All right.
Thank you for having us. We're excited to be here.
We are excited.
Yes, I love it. I love it. So, Awesome. Okay. So I don't know. Do you guys want to just start? I don't know. I always want to know, how did you guys meet? Where did you meet? I know it was 11 or maybe more years ago, hopefully more years ago, if you've been married 11 years.
No, we met each other, just got married right away.
the next day, right?
So actually, yeah, we met in high school, actually. We're from Stratford, and yeah, we met at Stratford High, and we were really good friends. And upon graduating, we actually got reacquainted, and we dated for a little while. We were friends for about a year, and then we started dating. Yeah. So we've been dating since 2005.
Yeah.
So yeah, about 17 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Wow. We've been married for 11 of those years.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do the math. It's too much. 17. So you dated for six years. Is that right?
Yeah.
Where's my math wrong? Okay. Yeah. Wow. So you've been together a long time. And how old are your kids?
So our kids are 19, 14, 10, and 3.
Wow.
Our little one is 3.
Wow. So that's a big spread. Okay. Wow. Great. So,
you need a time to breathe, Hillary.
Yeah.
So, okay. So what made you start a phlebotomy school?
You could do that one.
Okay. So, I have been in the medical field since I was 18 years old. And I really, you know, enjoy the medical field. I enjoy working with people. Throughout the years, starting on at 18, I grew a lot as far as maturity. You know, entering the healthcare field, you get to see a lot of things, so to speak, where it's like sick people, you know, people that are not from this country. You get to see the underinsured, the uninsured people. So I got to see a lot very young in the medical field. So as I continue to grow and continue my education and work for different organizations,
What were you doing? Just so I can create a picture of it.
I started out as a medical assistant when I was 18. Okay. And then over the years, I've continued my education and I became an LPN. And I'm still in school now for my registered nurse. And, you know, my journey is just, I like to strive for education. So my journey is, you know, continuing my education. I believe that you cannot pour out from an empty cup. So the more that you know, the more you can provide and be a resource for others. And in my position as an educator and a director of education for my business, for me, it is career development to continue to learn and grow. So the reason how we got here was because, again, I've been in the medical field for a very long time. I realized the needs, the job shortages, and the lack of know-how, right? So at this point, when COVID, and a lot of, I know COVID was bad for a lot of folks, but for some people, like us, COVID was actually a door opener. It allowed us to take a step back from the rush of the world, right? Everybody was home. Everybody was isolated. So we were able to take a step back and say, okay, this is the opportunity to either continue to work for people for the rest of our lives or an opportunity to really make a change in the community. Because Lavelle and I have talked about, you know, opening a business and we have talked about what that might look like for us. But because of how everything was rushed in life and going to work and taking care of the kids, we never had a moment to pause and create. So during COVID, this was that pause and create moment. So we took something that was meant to destroy and hurt and keep us isolated, right? We took that and then we created something positive and good with it, which was Quick Draw Phlebotomy School. And again, the reason for this school is because we did notice, number one, we needed a lot of frontline workers. We, with the pandemic, it really showed us the need of quality healthcare, the shortage of quality healthcare, and we wanted to help fill that gap. So with this school, we're doing just that. We're creating workers. We're creating quality healthcare workers. We're creating your phlebotomist. We're creating your medical assistants. We're creating your nurses, your billing and coding specialists, and so many other programs yet to come. And for us, it's just serving and giving back to the community, you know, giving back to the community that I grew up in. You know, I'm gonna be 30. What am I turning? 38. Tomorrow's my birthday.
Happy birthday.
So I'm turning 38 tomorrow. So I've been in the field longer than I've been.
20 years. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool.
Wow. All right. I have a couple questions and then we'll let Lavelle speak. Maybe. Maybe I'll let you speak. I don't know. So we'll see, right? We'll decide, Jennifer, if we let it speak. Just kidding.
We'll decide.
No. So when you say you're gonna teach all these, you're gonna create all these different, you know, the phlebotomists and the medicals, are you guys gonna, you guys are gonna train them in your school? You're gonna train all those different. Wow.
Yes.
Well, the goal is
that's amazing.
To hire people.
Okay. Yeah.
Hire people, right? one person can't do it all, even though sometimes we think we can, right? We think we could conquer the world. But that's just a recipe for failure, business failure. So for all you entrepreneurs out there, you cannot be everything, right? You can't be the janitor, you can't answer the phones, you can't do it all, right? You starting out, obviously you have what you have in your hand, but just know it definitely takes team and it takes a lot of moving pieces to have a successful business.
Okay. All right. So let's come back to that. Cause I do want to hear about like where the business is right now, but first I want to get Lavelle and how did you end up here in this business? Were you also in the medical field for 20 years?
No, I'm actually not at all. So I'm an engineer. I graduated from Fairfield University. I was working for the local utility company. I've been doing that for about 9 years. And we've been talking about, you know, creating a business, like my wife was saying. We started, COVID actually helped settle everything down. I began to work from home. You know, she still worked out in the field, but we actually, we started to have conversations on creating this business and just helping our family out and just having more time to have family time and to have time to, you know, to build with each other, because we were always missing each other. Even though I worked from home, I was always working. Mm-hmm. I was always kind of isolated. Mm-hmm. And I worked a lot of long hours. So this business is actually more than us providing, is actually providing for us as well, because now we get to spend more time together. We get to learn a little bit more about each other and grow as a husband and wife as well. So we're excited. We're excited.
Wow. So, all right. So you're sitting at home during COVID. And again, this is Jennifer, what you were saying about other entrepreneurs. A lot of people talk about starting a business, but they don't actually do it. And I know I saw your office. I know that costs money. There's rent and there's other expenses. Like, how did you do it? How did you make sure that you'd be financially okay? I mean, I'm assuming, Lavelle, you're not still doing that job, right? You're working.
No.
Okay.
No,
so you guys are now
full-time.
Yeah. So how, for other people who are thinking about doing that, especially you went from two incomes to, and I saw that. From two incomes to, you know, how'd you do it? Like, how do you do that responsibly and not put your family at risk? Okay, she's ready.
I love it. I love it. I'm excited, Hillary, because this is such a great question, because you know what? People have so many great ideas, right? We're all filled with ideas, but then we sit back and we're like, but how did they do it? And I didn't. So that's the biggest question to passing that threshold, right?
Yeah.
So I actually wrote some things down that I'm going to read.
Yeah, but no, because this for me is like, you know, hey, we can all start businesses, but it doesn't mean we're going to be able to pay the bills and feed our families. And how, you know, letting go of those jobs is like,
such a risk.
So,
all right.
So scary.
So you want to be smart. All right. So yeah. I think so so go ahead. I'll be quiet so you can talk.
So I have my perspective, but then Lavelle also has his perspective, which I think is a super cool perspective as well. For me, I'm like, let's start here, guys. Life is all about choices, right? We all can agree on that. You can have a dream, but it is the destination that becomes your destiny. Okay. So what happens is, like, we use COVID as an example. When you're in a moment, and I'm talking.
Okay. Jennifer, talk. Because for me, when someone tells me what to do, I'm like, don't tell me what to do. If you could talk about it from your, like, this is what we did, this is what I did.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I can hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you mind?
No, I love it.
I don't like when people tell me what to do. It's like I stop listening. So if you could talk about your story, then it, you know,
that's
I can
totally
hear
fine.
You.
And you know what, Hillary? I respect that, because as an educator, I'm always explaining things and I'm telling people how to learn and do. So it is coming from an educator perspective.
All right. But this is your story. So I want to hear how it was for you guys.
It is.
Right.
So talk
about like your dream and your choices and your destiny. Like, what was that for you? Yeah.
So feeling stuck for me was a growth process. So again, when we were in COVID and in that moment of feeling stuck, we're going to circle back to how everything bloomed, right?
Okay, cool.
So feeling stuck, in that moment when we were stuck, we were in a position that when you're stuck and you cannot move, right? And I'm talking about us. I'm not talking about you. I don't want anybody to misinterpret. when we were stuck, we were able to be in a position where we can look around, right? Because in the moment of being in a standstill and you're not moving, you get to see what's moving around you, who's moving around you, what's going on. So in that moment, we were able to really take a deeper look at all of our surroundings.
Because you had time.
We had time to look.
Okay.
We had the time.
Good.
And this is when we began to see who we really were, number one, right? And what we can really do with what we had. And like I said, we will circle back to, what is it that I have? I have medical experience. I have a medical education. I have a heart to serve. I have ideas to become an entrepreneur. So all of these things in the moment of being, so to speak, stuck, I was able to see, what is it from me that I can pluck out? What can I use to create and become what it is that I want to become in the future, right? Same for Lavelle.
So I get you had the experience. You have the medical experience, a medical education, and the heart to serve. What is your real dream? Is it to serve? Is it like, what is your deep dream that you, I mean, obviously I can feel your passion. I can feel your energy. Something is calling you. What is that?
Jesus.
Oh, there you go. All right, cool. Okay.
Jesus is calling.
That's cool. And what is, like, what is Jesus? I mean, I'm Jewish, so I don't.
That's fine.
but I get it. What is Jesus like? What can you hear him? What is he saying? What is it? What is that motivation? Because I can see you're filled with it, and it's awesome.
I love it, Hillary. So let's take a moment and just talk about what you just asked me about Jesus. What is it? So in my darkest times, and I'm going to give you a little bit of story of my my darkest times. In my darkest times, when I felt down, stuck, most defeated, I didn't always know Jesus. Let's just put it like that. I didn't always know him. I came to learn Jesus at a very young age because of what I've been through in life. I was born to a mother who was a drug addict. She had very unstable, and because of the drugs and addiction, and she's also has a history of, when you're on drugs, you do what you have to do to get your next fix. So she was also in prostitution for drugs. And so what ended up happening was, at a very young age, she was taken away from us. She went to prison for about 4 years. So this was an intervention moment. I must have been about eight years old or so. And my grandparents adopted me. But during this time, I have two other sisters. My grandparents could not adopt us all. I was the only one adopted. So during this time, it was a big struggle for me because I lost my sisters, I lost my mother, and now I'm being raised by my beautiful grandparents. God bless them, but I was raised by them as a single child, right? So there was a lot of void and a lot of confusion and a lot of, I don't have my mom, but where's my dad? Do I have a dad? And you know, so as a kid, there was just a lot of questions that I didn't know. My grandmother was the one that introduced me to prayer. She introduced me to Jesus. She introduced me to Christianity. And in that moment is when I felt loved. I felt the hug. I felt his presence. I felt his motivation. You know, I felt him. And it was a feeling that is indescribable, honestly. And it's a feeling that I never want to let go of. So again, that doesn't mean that I am a perfect person, right? Because of the traumas, because of the abandonment that I felt, I have grown, right? A little crooked, you could say, right? I didn't grow straight. I grew a little crooked. I grew with PTSD. I grew with some certain things that could trigger me. I've grown with a lot of loneliness. And I do feel in my heart that when I met Lavelle was definitely, literally, an answered prayer for me. He is that stability. He is that I'm not going to leave you. He is that I see you. I understand you, person for me. So he's my person. He's really helped me develop as a woman. He's helped me develop as a mother. He's still helping me develop as a wife. I got my own ways, but we getting there. but it's definitely a process. So I would say it's because of, I say it's because of my faith, it's because of Jesus that I was able to overcome so much that I've overcame. You know, at the age of 12, I met my biological father for the first time. And when I met him, he was dying from AIDS because he was an IV user. So when I saw him for the first time, I wasn't sad. I wasn't sad. I was angry. I was angry for the fact that I'm meeting you for the first time at 12. And the reason why I'm meeting you is under the circumstances that you're going to die. So for me, it's like, it's selfish. Was I not worth meeting before? You know, so I came to you for your closure, not for you actually trying to build a relationship with your child. So that was another abandonment, you can say, another issue that I had. Right? I have a lot of issues.
No. That's so. Can I just? There's something that's in my head that I want to ask. Well, remember where you are. 12, father. Okay. What happened to your sisters? Where did they go when you got, is that?
So, no, it's fine.
I'm wondering, you know, because I have two sisters and I'm like, I can't imagine that, but where did they go?
My sisters ended up getting pregnant at 14. And she's dealt with her own PTSD and trauma. And she's, you know, she's trying to figure out her life. One of my other sisters, she ended up living from friend's house to friend's house to friend's house. She ended up dropping out of school in eighth grade. And, you know, she became a part of statistics as well, following, you know, my mom's footsteps. So it's just a lot, you know. So when I take a step back and I see, I'm like, wow, Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me, because I could have been there. That is,
so nobody took them in. They were just left on their own.
So the thing is, I don't want to put it out there as far as that. I don't want it to look like that. That's not the picture I want to paint, because my grandparents were willing to take them in. I'm the youngest. They're a little bit older. So their trauma is a few years longer than mine. So meaning, they were too grown and mature beyond their years, or they thought they were. So for them living with my mom and the freedoms, to them it was a freedom because my mom wasn't responsible. So they can hang out, have the friends, do what they wanted to do. But now you're coming to a household where there's rules, there's bedtime. There is a scheduled meal time, you know. Living with my mom, dinner was a Snicker bar. Living with my grandparents, we had the broccoli, the rice, the chicken, you know, we had full meals. So it was a rush that they enjoyed. I don't even want to say enjoyed. It was just the culture, you know, the upbringing, something that they were familiar with, and they didn't want to change. So for them, it was actually their choice that they wanted to live with their friends. They wanted to hang out. And my grandparents are very old school, and they're not dealing with disrespectful children. You know, it is what it is. Is either
your mom, but where did they go? They stayed with your mom, or they just...
No, my mom was in prison at this time. So,
right. Okay.
They ended up. I mean, we've had cousins and things like that. So they will go for like cousin's house and then jump to a friend's house. And, you know, so it was like one of those back and forth things.
They weren't in foster care. They just kind
of. No. It wasn't foster care. They were between family and friends and things like that.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I had that niggling thing. Okay. So I'm going to ask so I can let it go.
Right. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. All right, so keep going. So you just met your dad. Now you didn't feel like you got some kind of closure with him by meeting him?
I was angry.
You were angry, okay.
As of today, now that you bring it up, I don't even think I got closure. I believe that I still don't have closure. I am still very upset at the fact that he met me for selfish reasons.
Okay. And was he the father of your sisters as well?
Yes.
Okay.
I do want to say, leaving it on a positive note, you know, I did receive all the love a daughter can receive from my grandparents. Those are my parents. I received all the love. I mean, I would come home from school and my grandmother would have, I would leave my room a mess and I come back to my room and she cleaned everything. She loved to clean. So she would clean my room and my bed would be made up and she would always have like little things for me, whether it'll be like bracelets or a pair of socks or just something. Her love language is gifts. So, She believed that gifts and service. Yeah. So for her, she always wanted to give me like a token of I love you, because to me it was, this is her daughter that, you know, this is her daughter. So for me, I feel like she knew what we've been through and she just was overcompensating for the lack of. So every time I would come home, she always made sure there was love. You know, I never went to bed on dirty sheets. I never went to school dirty. I never, you know, missed a meal. You know, I've always had breakfast, lunch, dinner. You know, like I've always had what I needed, which was love.
And you didn't have that growing up with your mom?
No. With my mom, I created the worst anxiety of my life. Okay. The worst anxiety of my life. With my mom, I would vomit. I would wake up in the middle of the night vomiting because I didn't know where she was. I thought she was murdered in an alley somewhere. And this is like an 8-year-old kid, you know? So I would wake up with anxiety and panic attacks. I was always vomiting. I was always very sick and just very anxious because I just feel sometimes parents, they do the best they can with what they know. But I think sometimes parents can be a little selfish where they forget you got your children looking at you. You got to take some responsibility for their emotion, some responsibility for them. So because she was addicted to so many things, she didn't have the mindset to care about what we were looking at, which is beautiful.
Wow. Well, no, but it's a blessing. You know, you can look at it that you had your grandparents and but you got two separate lives, like one you could model
for
grandparents and one you could not, you wouldn't want to. Wow. Amazing. Cause some people don't get that second chance. You know, that's what I'm thinking. What about all the kids who never got the grandparents, you know?
They end up in the system.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why, like I say, service is so important to us. Like, we definitely volunteer. Growing up, I made it a point to volunteer at Goodwill to children that were young, that are young, that are parentless, that are young teen moms. Like, that's my heart. So I'm always in Goodwill's volunteering. My husband right now volunteers for a great network of I don't know if you ever heard of them. They're called Urban Impact, which is a great resource for children and PT Barnum projects. So we definitely are involved there. We love to help. The more that we can help, the better. Because for me, I'm not angry. I'm not angry at my life. I'm disappointed of my upbringing, but I'm not angry of what I've been through, because it helped me appreciate and learn how to love the ones that are less fortunate, because I've been there. So I know how it feels.
Wow.
It molded you to the person you are today.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow. Well, Lavelle, you sound like a blessing as well that it you is. Were. Yeah. Now we can go to our break right now and come back. Well, we got 2 minutes. So anything you want to say, Lavelle? We're giving you.
Yeah, I know. She's like, but it's all about her. That's what I wanted to introduce. This is the talent over here.
No, stop it.
No, no. We want to hear yours too, but
just to touch back to what you said earlier about what made us take that leap of faith. Mm-hmm. And like she was saying, it was God. We go to Him for answers. We go to Him to ask Him, should we do this? Should we? Mm-hmm. Is this you? Do we move forward? Because it's a big risk. It's a huge risk. And especially financially. just taking that risk. Oh, so yeah. So we did that. We had countless of meetings of strategizing the mastermind group. We just formed it and we're just throwing ideas and I'm putting all worst case scenarios. Okay. What do we do with this? What do we do for medical? What do we do for here? Because I pretty much provided that for the family and that was no longer going to be there. And we had to create on our own and create everything on our own. So yeah, through a lot of prayer, a lot of meetings, a lot of dinners and lunches where we're just dropping off ideas and just creating. And one thing led to another. And when I tell you, it was a seamless transition. Seamless. It was so seamless and so simple. And that's how I knew it was,
wow.
God was definitely,
in the story.
Yeah. He was definitely watching out for us. Absolutely.
All right. Thank you. I want to ask more questions about that, but we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to hear about how they made that transition, I'm curious about the finances. I'm always thinking about how do we do that? So, okay. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Are you inspired? Are you living a life story you're proud to tell? Are you actively pursuing and creating the life of your dreams? Well, if not, you really need Hillary's AAA program for freedom. Just visit gettingrealwithhillary.com and schedule a time with Hillary today.
All right, we're back. So, all right. So where were we? You guys said you made it. So one question, who is your mastermind? Is it just the two of you or do you have other people also?
It's the two of us.
It's the three of us.
It's the three.
All right, good. But God, yay.
And God, yeah, there we go. But we do also things that we don't know and we need clarification. We do seek a lot of business counseling from people who've been in business for a long time. We're SCORE. We have a mentor from SCORE, which has been a great resource for us as well. And we're part of different networks of people where we can ask them certain questions just to kind of get guidance to make sure we are making the right decisions for certain decisions that we need to make. Right. So yeah, we always try to seek expertise as well. And that's what we've been doing.
Awesome. So it sounds like you didn't just jump, you put a plan together. And so how, and then we'll get into the business itself and what you can provide for people. But just because I always like to know about the money part as a business person, how did you make sure that, before you took the leap and quit your jobs, how did you make sure you would be okay financially? I know you have the rent, you probably have other expenses. Just tell me a little bit about that.
Absolutely.
So I can relax and listen to the rest. Okay, go ahead.
So absolutely. So it was timing. The timing just was perfect. So I can say
that. That's how you know it was God, right? Really?
Yeah, exactly. It's just the timing was perfect. So in this timing, interest rates was down. Equity in our home, we're pretty much investing in ourselves by taking equity out of our house to fund our business venture. And we had a ton of equity. So we were able to do that to get us started and to help prolong us through the process until the business picks up and then, grows legs on its own.
Okay.
So that's pretty much, that was pretty, and plus whatever savings we did have, which we did have a savings with the equity, we brought that all together. We funded our business entirely ourselves. And that's how we were able to maintain financially.
Okay. All right, cool. And how long have you been open?
We've been open for almost a year now.
Wow.
Formed the company in January. Okay. And we've actually opened the doors in April. Okay. Was when we started. Yeah.
And all right. So tell me a little bit. Do you already have classes? Do you already have people taking the phlebotomy? Like, what is it that people? You're not taking blood. You're teaching people how to do that, right?
Exactly.
Yes.
So you can.
So go ahead.
So right now we are enrolling phlebotomy students. And we are enrolling because there is a new mandate out for medical assistants who would like to learn how to draw up vaccines and administer vaccines. The law just passed that medical assistants can do that. So we are also training that portion as well for current MAs that, you know, want to get certified in vaccine administration. We teach them the hands-on phlebotomy skills. We just got a wonderful, huge contract with Yale New Haven Health Hospital and Bridgeport Hospital.
Oh, yeah.
So our students, right, Hillary, right.
We're excited for that.
So, oh my God.
So that's going to be.
So does the hospital pay the students? No.
It's a 2-week internship program. However, because again, there's never enough workers, right? There's never enough staff. And you're talking about 2 big hospitals, but not only the hospitals, you also have the satellites, right? The draw stations, right? So there's a lot of moving pieces. So I am not too concerned about my students finding work. You know, I always tell them, number one, what we also train here in addition to what other programs might or might not train. But for us, what we do is we teach something called interpersonal personability skills. And what that basically means is I'm going to teach you about healthcare mindset. You're going to learn healthcare communication. You're going to learn, healthcare empathy and ethics and doing the right thing when no one is looking, you know, things like that. So it's really important for my students at QuickDraw to have that extra piece, which is about another like a week and a half worth of just training that alone, right?
Wow.
So that is what we do here as well. Number one.
And do you have, when did you have your first class? You opened the doors in April. Did you already have classes graduate and come out?
Our first class was September 19th.
So it started, okay.
Yeah, so September 19th was our first official class. And that's our class now. And they're going to be the first class, and then they're going out on externship.
So when do they go? Like, when is that over?
So it's in two. So my class is over.
Is it like a 3-month thing or?
No, it's only for 2 weeks.
Oh.
Yeah. It's only for 2 weeks.
Oh, but the program is actually a 6-week program. Our phlebotomists, they're trained for about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
It's from since they begin it to the end. And then actually, if you add the externship, it's actually 8 weeks.
Right.
Which we're looking at extending, but.
So I'm looking at my calendar. So you've had, I just want to know, like these kids, oh, I see. So that's only a month ago. So they're only a month in. Okay, I'm thinking they're already out. All right. So when they go out, this is really your first products.
Yeah.
Going this is out our guinea pigs.
It's what?
Our guinea pigs.
It's our first.
Yeah, but what you're doing with the healthcare empathy and teaching them how to be with people, does anybody else do that? Or are you guys the only ones? Because that's sorely missing with certain providers I've been to who have not been.
So I'm going to circle back to when I started in the field. So just to answer your question, I'm not going to give a long detail, but to answer back. Remember, I've been in the field since 18. So I got to see behind the scenes what was lacking, what was missing. So National Health Career Association, which is NHA, which is our proctoring body for all of our programs, they offer this program. So the reason why we said, yes, we want to do this program is because, again, based on what I've seen, what I've witnessed, what I've experienced, based on patients feeling unheard or ignored. So, for example, you have the situation where you're in the room and you want results and you might have, you know, some healthcare professional and they're writing notes as you're talking and writing, they turn their back on you and they walk out the door and say, okay, give me 5 minutes. never making eye contact, you know, never letting you see their smile, never letting you feel the embrace. I'm not saying everyone is like that, but it happens more often than not where patients feel rushed or they feel ignored. You know, you're sitting in the waiting room for 1.5 hours and you had an appointment. Mm-hmm. Why am I still here? I made an appointment. I have to go. I had to take my kids somewhere or whatever. So these are things that I'm teaching where it goes back to being a team. So I was just teaching this last night, actually, Hillary, which is great. Yeah. So if I have four employees, right? And this is good for employers to hear, guys. So if I have four employees and I have one employee that's really great with the computer and really fast and registers really quickly, and I have one really awesome phlebotomist in the back, yes, we can rotate. But on the days that is a heavy load, that's not the time to train or put somebody, you know, or put the slowest person that's tied to one finger, right? You want to make sure that you're utilizing your team as a whole. Who's strong in the front desk? Who's strong in the back? Who's strong with the phone calls to schedule these appointments? So like that, everyone is using their strengths in the time of a rush or a need, you know? So this is something that I was actually teaching my students yesterday. Don't be afraid to rely on each other. Don't be afraid to say, hey, I got someone in room 2 that I need for you to draw because she's a hard stick. I am not going to try to stick her because I don't want her walking out of here with 4 Band-Aids, right? Because they could try twice. Somebody else comes in and tries twice. So it's like, if you know your team and you know this person is really good with the rolling veins or the veins that collapse, if they're really good, pull that person in because it gives quality care for the patient. Don't try to be a superhero and say, well, let me see if I can catch it. No, grab the person that's a little bit more experienced, bring them in, make the patient happy, and, you know, continue on with your schedule.
If they're just learning how to be a phlebotomist, though, can they say that as the newest person on the block? Like, hey, you know, whatever, what is it, hidden veins or whatever? Like, you know, do you look weak if you ask for help? I mean, you're talking about like how to manage the office, but these are people just coming out of your school for the first time. Like, do they have the, can they say, hey, doctor, I'm just going to remanage your office because I'm better at the, you know what I'm saying?
So it's not for them to come in as a leadership, as a management position. They could definitely work their way up to a leadership or management position because that's more of a leader and a manager that could say, let's do this, let's do that, and have that input, which is great. But what I'm teaching is the basic fundamentals of teamwork, what it looks like to be a team. Asking for help is actually a strength, not a weakness. So I would say if you are stuck and you know for a fact that you're nervous because you're new, keep those training wheels on. You don't have to pull off the training wheels and go full force without a helmet. Remember, these are, you know, these are people you're dealing with. You know, they're already anxious. They're already scared. They already probably had trauma where they got bruised or, you know, we got to think from their perspective. We got to put ourselves in their shoes. So with that being said, it is actually a strength to say, you know what? I don't really see anything right now. Do you mind a second if I get someone? I believe a patient will feel so much more confident in the facility and appreciate the fact that they did not get, you know, stuck more than once or twice. So like that, it just feels good quality.
I think it was before I was having surgery and the person just couldn't get it. I mean, tried. And then finally brought someone else in who just boop, did it. But you know, when they're trying and not getting it, you think it's you. I'm thinking like, what's wrong with my arm? You know, why? But then when the other person came and did it, like on the first try, I was like, oh. And, so that would have been a case where she could have said, you know what, I've just done this 3 times. It's not working.
You know, or even, you know, even in that situation, you know, the fact that your feelings were not understood, your feelings were not met, your anxieties were not met. And this is what I teach the students here. Right. You have to meet their anxiety. You have to meet their mindset. No one wants to sit there and get poked more than once. I know you would have really appreciated if she would have just been transparent and had more integrity and said, you know what?
This is not my strength.
Yes. You know, I'm still
I'm still learning.
I'm still training. I'm learning. I'm in school. I think you would have appreciated that. Can I get someone who's been here a little longer to draw?
Absolutely.
And then she could have just stood there and watched. But now you have this perspective as a patient where you're like, what's your name? I like you. When I come back, I'm going to call you. You know, I'm going to get you every time I come in. Right. And now you're looking at this other person like, unbelievable. This whole time. Unbelievable. You could have got this rock star and you want to poke me.
Right. But I didn't know I had the choice. Yeah. So this is great. I mean, I love what you're doing. I love how you're putting in the personal. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
You know, you guys
thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Welcome. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you guys are patients are our parents. You guys are our grandparents. You guys are our aunts, our uncles, our children. You know, you guys are, we should never look at people just because we don't know them as that's just a patient. That's just a job, that's just a job. We need to get out of the mindset of just looking at people like that. We have to really look at people like, hello, they have fears. They have anxieties. They don't want to be here. They might be coming in because they're scared. They might have cancer. And here you are poking them up and down the storm and they're sitting there. Right. Right.
Yeah.
So it's just like, meet a patient where they're at. They're ready coming to you anxious. They're scared of their results. They don't know what to expect. And you're sitting there without your smile. You're sitting there not giving them eye contact. You're sitting there rushing them, poking them 50 times, and then finally get somebody that gets it on one try. I'm going to leave a horrible review.
Right. No, I get it. But so, okay, we got 9 minutes left. I want you to be able to promote your business. I just want to, I know we could do another one, but.
Oh, good.
How do you sell, like, okay, you have these kids coming in, or I assume they're kids, but maybe they're not. They're people who are getting trained, but.
My students are adult learners.
They're adults. Okay. Okay. Yeah, so
They're okay.
So I get it. You're training them and that's awesome. But how do you tell, like, if they're not, I mean, they're business owners, but let's say it's a like Quest. Huge.
Yeah.
Maybe they're about the numbers. Maybe how do you get them to care about what you're saying? Or maybe they do. I mean, maybe they're putting out surveys and they're saying that they're not, you know, and I don't even know if they're good or bad, but how do you, I mean, we know it's important, but if you're task oriented and it's just a numbers game and you got to get people in and out, how do you get them to see the importance of this? Or is that not your job? Do you know? Because I'm thinking
my job.
You need to train everybody, like the entire, Jennifer, I'm thinking you need to train the entire world, like right now. And how can we
get them our number? Yeah.
How can you teach everybody, you know? That this is important. Like, this is where the world needs to go. And I know I can be task oriented. I've sent a text before and people will say, you know, did you do this? Did you do this? And they're like, good morning. I'm like, oops. So yeah. I know it's easy to get caught up. If you got things to do, you only got a minute. Blah, blah, blah. How do we get to that place where we're giving that care? Attention. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, that's, I think, where the world needs to go.
The best advice that I could give personally is talk to someone how you would like someone to talk to you. It's a simple principle, but it is real. Sometimes you're in a rush and you're not feeling too well. And like you said, you have someone that's like, good morning, Hillary. And you're like, oh yeah, good morning. How was your day? You know, it's like light bulb.
I don't have time for this. Let's go. No, but I can do both. So
right.
I know I have to watch my other busy person back and go, oh yeah, hi.
Hi.
But you know, how do we do we have the business owners know that that's important? And again, maybe that's not your job, but I'm just seeing like a whole need for this. I know, you know, I'm glad you're teaching it, and I hope more people teach it because I think it's so valuable.
How we get the business owners to acknowledge customer care and patient care, yeah, bedside manner, what have you, is look at your numbers. Look at your reviews, right? Yeah. Numbers don't lie. Reviews don't lie. Yeah. Your money don't lie.
That's the bottom line.
So if you see that you are seeing less patients and less patients, and now you're shortening the schedule and making now your full-time, part-time, your part-time, per diem, you're going in the wrong direction, right? Yeah.
So they do have measures that they can look at.
So I would say definitely look at the system you have in place. If you have a lot of bad reviews, not enough appointments on your schedule, you don't have enough people knocking on your door and they're going to your competitor, there's something going on there that needs to be addressed. And I would say 90% of the time, it is the personability approach. It's the interpersonal skills. It's the smile. It's the, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that you were waiting 20 minutes past your appointment time. You know, I didn't realize that. I'll bring you right in right now. You know, and just looking at the other person saying, sir, give me 1 second. I'm going to bring her in right now. You know, and then you come in. Because what happens is sometimes we could sit there for a long time. But if we're sitting here for a long time, on top of getting not so friendly service and being rushed, that's a bad experience from the door. Now, sitting there, because we can all appreciate the fact that when you go to a doctor's appointment, we all know for a fact that you're never going to get in on time. That's universal, right? We're going to wait a little bit. But in the waiting, can we acknowledge that, hey, I seen that you registered. I'll be right with you. Funny story. I know we don't have much time.
But we got 4 minutes and I want to be able to give them your website and everything. So go ahead.
So when I used to work at lab, right? I can talk. When my husband said an hour, I said, that's it? Only an hour?
I'm not going to say anything. It's
going to
be all like,
right, right. It's going to be like 3 hours.
Well, you're important, even though we didn't let you talk. You're still important. Okay.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Hillary. You're going to have to do it with him by himself. Okay.
What'd you say?
I said, I'm not invited to the next one. You're going to have to do him.
No, you are.
All right. So real quick, because now it's probably like okay, 3 hours.
Real quick. Go ahead.
So, when I used to work at a lab, right? Patients were, I was at 5:45 in the morning. I had to be there because I was drawing blood. Patients would come in hangry, right? They didn't eat, they're fasting. They want to get their blood work done. And at 5:45, believe it or not, 6:30 in the morning, from that time period, you see a lot of patients, right? Drawing blood. Because again, a lot of them are fasting. We would have patients look at us, stand near our desk, hands on their hips, grilling us as we walk back and forth. And you could just see that, like, am I next? Am I going in? When am I going in? I've been here for 15 minutes. I need it, you know, so you see all the anxiety. And what I would do personally, and this is how I knew that they needed to be a change in healthcare. I looked at one of the patients and I said, sir, because he was pacing back and forth. And I was like, we're 2 seconds away from getting cursed out from this guy. So I look at him and I say, sir, I do see you. I know that you registered. We are a little backed up. We're one person down today because people don't know that you're short staffed. So they don't know who called out. So I explained to him, we are short staffed. Everybody in the waiting room heard it. So you literally felt the room go. Okay, they are short staffed. So let me send the email. Let them know I'll be a few minutes. Let me send a text message. Let husband know, please get the kids ready. Get them on the bus. They're short, you know, and it's just the communication piece, you know, but not knowing and not letting them in. It's a team. And it's not just a team of employees. It's a team with the patients too. We're all a team.
You know what? It's saying what people sometimes are afraid to say. They don't want to admit they're short-staffed or they don't want to admit they're new. You know, like this is a whole new world of being able to say it because it does create that communication, connection. Anyway, so we've got 1 minute left. So I'm going to just let people know where they can find you. Thank you so much, Jennifer and Lavelle Somerville. Quick Draw Phlebotomy School in Shelton, Connecticut. If you want to learn, I mean, I think everybody needs to go sign up for their medical, I call it medical compassion now. I'm making up a new word.
I love it. that.
But yeah. Great. We'll call this episode that, but it's www.quickdrawschool.com. Quick is QUIKDRAW school.com. Their phone number is 203-529-7. I can't even see with my glasses. 529-7260. Jennifer and Lavelle Somerville, husband and wife entrepreneur. What a great story. And is there anything you want to say? It hasn't turned up. Oh, we just turned to the 55. Anything you want to say real quick?
Yes, I want to say thank you so much. Keeping it real with Hillary. I'm so excited. This is so awesome. I love the fact that you gave us an opportunity to share our story. I would love to do it again.
All right.
Thank you very much, Hillary.
Thank you. You guys are awesome.
You too.
You rock.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you for listening to the Getting Real with Hillary show. We hope you were entertained and inspired. Please subscribe to Hillary's newsletter. Go to gettingrealwithhillary.com for more freedom techniques and fantastic stories and links to other great stuff. And don't forget to tune in every week on Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on BBS Radio TV. And let's get real. Let's get connected. Let's get inspired and create that life you love.